Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath services. We're just about ready to enter the summertime where the summer blahs come. And have you ever had the blahs? Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I wrote down the blahs, trouble, weakness, outrage, sin. Maybe you feel like in your life you hit a brick wall. Sometimes you feel that way too, okay? So how do we cope with those things? We cope with hope, if we could put it that way. Now, let's first of all come to Jeremiah, the first chapter. Now, the reason being is that Jeremiah had a 40-year ministry, and he also wrote the Book of Lamentations. So today we will connect some of the Book of Lamentations with the Book of Jeremiah, okay? Now, God told him here, verse 7, Jeremiah 1 and verse 7, after he complained, said, well, I'm just a youth. The Lord said to me, do not say, I am a youth, for I shall give to all, for you shall I give to all that I shall send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you. Quite a key statement. God is always with us to deliver us because he's dwelling in us, says the Lord. And the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. Now then he comes over here and he says, verse 16, and I will pronounce my judgments against them regarding all their wickedness in that day that they have forsaken me, and burning incense to other gods, and worshiping the works of their own hands. You, therefore, must gird up your loins and arise, and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed at their faces. Do not, lest I confound you before them. For behold, I have made you a fortified city this day, an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its rulers, against its priests, against the people of the land. Now you talk about a lonely job, one that was fraught with great difficulty. Ezekiel certainly was. Ezekiel, thank you. Well, Ezekiel was not his brother, but a close second. Okay, so Jeremiah, thank you for the correction. Okay. And they shall fight against you, but they shall not overcome you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. Now, these are the promises of God that Jeremiah had. Now, we also have promises ourselves. Now, we'll go forward. 40 years, children of Israel have been carried off into captivity. Judah has been burned to the ground. The temple is destroyed. And Jeremiah is wandering around the city, and he writes the Book of Lamentations. So let's come to the Book of Lamentations. I think that's 829. We will see. Yes, 829. Let's come to 831. Okay. Jeremiah 3. Now here he's recalling a lot of things that he experienced. And all of us have experienced different things at different times, not on the scale that he did. So he says, now he must have been about 16 or 18 when he started. So here he is 40 years later. And he says, I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and made me go in darkness, not into light. Surely he turned. He has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. So you go back and all the things that he had to go through, especially when he was thrown into the sewer. He has wasted my flesh and my skin, and he has broken my bones. He has besieged me. He has encircled me with bitterness and tribulation. Now, I want you to think about the things that you have gone through when we read this, see? Because this is a perfect example that it doesn't matter how bad things get all around us, or even if they afflict us, God is still with us. Now, because we're told we're entering the time of sorrows and going to have things be worse than any time since the beginning of creation. So we've got to be mentally strong, like God told Jeremiah, and to understand what he went through to help strengthen us. Okay, verse 5 again, he besieged me, has encircled me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me live in dark places like those who have long been dead. He probably had to hide himself time and time again. He has set a fence about me so that I cannot go out. There was one time he said to this effect, I'll just paraphrase it, I have had it. I don't want any more. And then he said, but the word of God in me is like fire in my bones. So he had to speak. Okay. So we need to think upon those, because all of these are examples for us. Because and I'm sure right now the way things look, and Dolores has been telling me from day one, Hillary's going to win. Hillary's going to win. It looks like she's going to win. And if she wins, it's going to be just like Jeremiah. Okay? Okay, verse 7. No, verse 8. Also, when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayer. He didn't even think that God was listening to him. He has blocked my ways with cut stone. He has made my paths crooked. He was as a bear lying in wait for me, as a lion in secret places. Oh, these are pretty strong words. Okay. He has turned my ways aside and has torn me to pieces. He made me desolate. He has bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He has caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my inward parts. I was a mocking to all my people, their song all the day. He has filled me with bitterness and made me drunk with wormwood. He has broken my teeth with gravel stones. He has made me to wallow in ashes, and my soul is removed far off from peace. I have forgotten happiness. Boy, what a sad state of affairs, huh? A servant of God directly. And I said, my strength and my hope from the Lord are perished. Remember my affliction and my anguish, the wormwood and the bitterness of gall. My soul vividly remembers and is bowed down within me. I recall this to my mind, therefore I have hope. Now notice, when it gets right down to where all is lost, there's the hope of God. And remember how I started out the series on love. Remember, when all else fails, God loves you. Now notice, after all that complaining, verse 22, it is by the Lord's mercies that we are not destroyed, because his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke of his youth. So he said, after it's all said and done, all the things I've gone through, all the lessons I have experienced, the hope is with God. Quite an interesting thing. If you read through all the book of Lamentations, that's one of those books you can't just sit down and read through. It is, all of it, very heavy, like this in chapter 3. But nevertheless, it's there, and it's there for a purpose. Now let's come to the book of Psalms. Let's come to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. Because we see this on a little different scale with David. Now he had a lot of things come upon him because of the way that he did not serve God. Half his life was fantastic, the other half was nothing but trouble. Psalm 31. So here's the attitude we need. In you, O Lord, I've taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. See? Showing total reliance upon God in everything. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me quickly. Be my strong rock, a fortress of defense to save me. So if you're going through troubles, if you have difficulties, now that just recently there was a minister in one of the churches of God who committed suicide. I knew him. I knew his wife. Went to school with them. So I don't know what the circumstances were that happened. But you see, you can never let yourself get to the point that you give up on God. And that's why these things are here in the Bible, so that we can have hope in God. Verse 3, for you, notice he's not relying on himself. He's not relying on what he could do, though to enact the hope in his life, he had to get up and have full participation afterwards. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have hidden for me, for you are my strength. That's where we get the strength. Then here's a prophecy of Christ. Now think about what Jesus went through. And I'm going to follow this up with a couple of sermons on who was Jesus Christ before he was a man. Because it never, never, never ends. There are those who do not believe that he was God before he became a human being. I don't know how they can read statements like, I'm from above, you're from beneath. You know, what if you see me go back from where I came? So verse 5, into your hand I commend my spirit, for you have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I've hated those who take heed to lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your loving kindness, for you have looked upon my afflictions and have known the troubles of my soul, and have not given me over to the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place. Notice the very things that we need to go to God and praise him for: his love, his strength, his graciousness, his goodness, his mercy. All of these things come into play when difficulties of a great magnitude come along. I thought about this the other day, coming back from the store. I went to the store, and I forget what I got, but anyway, I got it because we needed it and so forth. So I was on my way home, and I drive through the neighborhood. And I think, what's going to happen? Look at all of these people, these houses. And I remembered in Isaiah it says, woe to you who put house to house and land to land. And I was thinking, do any of them know anything about producing food to eat? I wonder if any of them have even more than just a few days food. And then I remember that Dolores told me about the report on television that if difficult times come, most people don't even have $1,000 spare dollars. And what are they going to do when they cut off all the digital money? And I was thinking, what's going to happen? How will these people behave? See? And so I get home, run upstairs, and we take care of the stuff we need to take care of, have our dinner and go on, you know. But just think what's going to be like in some of these cities where they're stacked 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10, 12 stories high. How's it going to be? And I just shake my head and say, oh, God. That's why we need, like, verse 9 here, be gracious unto me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is consumed with grief. Yea, even my soul and my body, for my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones have wasted away because of all of my adversaries. I have become a reproach. Even his own son Absalom was trying to take over the throne from him. And then, right on his deathbed, another one of the sons, I think it was Jonadab, he tried to proclaim himself king before David took his last breath. But especially among my neighbors and a dread to my friends, those from outside who saw me fled away. I'm forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel. I've heard the whispering slanders of many terrors on every side. They plot together against me. They plan to take away my life, but I trusted in you, O Lord. I said, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face to shine upon your servant and save me in your loving kindness. Okay? Come down here to verse 23. I'll let you read the rest of it there. Oh, love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud doer. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all who hope in the Lord. Now, that's quite a thing, isn't it? Yes, indeed. So even in spite of what's going to come or what has happened, let's come to Psalm 146. Psalm 146. Here again we find that a close relationship with God is the very important thing when troubles and difficulties come. Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. And this changes our thought process. And this changes our attitude. And this brings us close to God. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Now remember what happened when the Apostle Paul and those with him were thrown into the stocks and into jail? Remember that? What did they do? They were singing hymns that night at midnight. And what happened? There was a great earthquake, knocked the stocks off. So great was the earthquake that the jailer got up, took his lantern, went out there and was very trepidatious and saying, you know, he was afraid that everybody escaped. And Paul said, we're all here. We're all here. And he came up to Paul and he said, what do I have to do to be saved? You talk about turning the tide completely, huh? All right. Verse 3, important verse for today, especially with the elections coming up. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no salvation. His breath goes forth, and he returns to the earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever. And what's that one promise that we have in Hebrews 13? I will not ever leave you or forsake you. No, I will never leave you. I don't know the circumstances, but if anyone gets close to the point of despair, like this poor minister who took his life, you need to trust in God regardless of what happens or the circumstances, what they may be. Okay? Now, the other day, I was watching Nat Geo. I spent a lot of time there. But I have to tell you, I was watching about World War I and all the killing. So I turned someplace, I turned to Nat Geo, and then they had the deadliest animals, and they were killing, each other. And then I turn on the television, and here's this two-year-old boy that's taken off and drowned by the alligator, So I turn on the news, and here's the shooting, and I said, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. So I just turned it off. Then later I came back to Nat Geo, and they were showing the wonders of the ocean. Absolutely fantastic, Here we are standing on the seashore. You've done that. We've done that out here in Monterey Bay, and you look out there, and you don't have a clue as to what's going on under the water. But what a tremendous creation of God, with all of the creatures, large and small. And so that gave me great relief, kind of like here. God, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea, that all that in them is, who keeps truth forever. So you see, even then, when these things come upon you, figure out a way to handle it. See? Who carries out justice for the oppressed, he will. What is the greatest justice? The greatest justice, the second resurrection. You read that back there in Ezekiel 37. And we think, boy, this is fantastic. But it said there of Israel, they said, our hope is lost. When the second resurrection is the beginning of their hope. Quite a tremendous thing, see. So we need to think beyond the immediate disaster and beyond the immediate difficulties we are in. You'll get in situations where the only thing you can do is say, God, help me. Here I am. What do I do? Okay? He'll help you. All right, verse 8. Opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. He preserves the stranger. He sustains the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord reigns forever. Tremendous. Okay? There's one verse just across the page here. Verse 11. Psalm 147, verse 11, just across the page. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, who hope in his steadfast love. Glorify the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. So this is how we need to approach that. Remember what Jesus said back in Matthew, the 10th chapter? Said you're all going to suffer persecution. Did he say that? Yes, he did. And he said, don't fear him who can kill your body, but they can't take away your life. And what do we find in Revelation, the fifth chapter? Beheading of the saints. Isn't it interesting that beheading is in vogue again today? All right, let's go on. Let's come here to Psalm 119. Now let's see how we can have hope in God in spite of the circumstances, in spite of the difficulties. Okay. Psalm 119, verse 43. Okay, let's pick it up here in verse 41. Now, these are all broken down into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 verses, each section, and by the alphabet of the Hebrew language. So, verse 41, "Let your mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even according to your salvation, according to your word." Now, let me just pass on to you a couple of words that you always need to remember, which is, God, you have promised. And then after that, God, you cannot lie. And we can claim those promises, see? Rather than saying, God, what are you doing? Well, he knows. So keep that in mind, just like he did here. Okay? "That I may have an answer for the one who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your judgment." See how everything then circles around hope. "So I shall keep your law continually forever and ever." All right? Verse 49. "Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has given me life." Interesting, isn't it? Yes, indeed. All right, let's come over here to verse 74. Okay, let's start in verse 73. "Your hands have made me and formed me." Now, if you're really low and discouraged, get out the book you just received, From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God, Why Were You Born? See? And read what God has in store. See? And look at it this way. This physical life, you can liken it, and it's likened to a plant, it's likened to a flower and so forth. And of course, there are a lot of us in the church that are old. Just this past month, we've had two who have been on the list who died. Okay? There will be more. And as I've said before, every Christian who has ever been, who is not alive right now, died in the faith. So we need to keep that in mind. There's nothing different that happens to us that hasn't happened to other people. Okay? He made us. And he says, "Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word." God has promised. Lord, you have promised. And if nothing else, if it's right at a situation where, you know, maybe this is it, you never know, then you just say, "Lord, I'm in your hands." All right, let's go on. Verse 81. Let's come down here to verse 81. "My soul faints for your salvation. I hope in your word." That's why we study. That's why we pray. That's why we understand the word of God. "My eyes fail for your word, saying, when will you comfort me?" Boy, he was in difficulty here, huh? "For I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The proud have dug pits for me, men who do not act according to your law. All your commandments are faithful. See, notice, in every circumstances, mind back on God, mind back on the commandments of God, you know, just like with Sabbath services. Boy, I tell you, today it's almost a struggle to get from one Sabbath to the next Sabbath and get away from all the things going on, huh? Yes, indeed. But that's why we have the Sabbath, see? That we can come and be instructed from the Word of God, encouraged with the Word of God, lifted up with the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and with each other all together, see? Okay. Now, let's come down here to verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in the heavens. No one's going to argue against God. Your faithfulness is to all generations, not yet been delivered, but it is, correct? Yes. You have established the earth and it stands. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. Unless your law had been my delight, I should have perished in my affliction. See how that works? Yes, indeed. So we don't get all consumed with the things that are going on and so forth. Okay, let's come over here to verse 114. Okay, we'll start at 113. I hate those who are double-minded, but your law do I love. Now, if there's any one thing about God, God is single-minded in his purpose and plan and everything, see? But those who are double-minded change their minds. You know, just speaking of the coming convention, they're trying to unseat Trump as the one who received the nomination. And so the one who's the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, says, well, I wouldn't tell them to not vote their conscience. That sounds like a wonderful statement, but it's lawless because the rule is that the delegate is bound to vote for the one that he is representing. See? Double-minded. Boy, makes you wonder about a lot of the other politicians starting right at the top office, doesn't it? Verse 114. For you are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. That's why we need the laws and commandments written in our hearts and in our minds. And in trouble, we can call upon God. We can call upon his word. We can call upon his promises. And God is there. Okay? So we can say, verse 115, depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your word that I may live. Let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold me up and I shall be safe, and I will always have respect unto your statutes. All right, let's go ahead and take a little break here.